Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Focus TV. Here with us tonight, as always, got Xavier Wyatt, Cardo Dudley Jr., Raymond Lyons, Wilson Tarpe Jr. Happy to be back with you guys. Hope everybody's doing well, staying safe. Man, we got another week where we're going to get into some rapid fire. This week will be a little bit different, where we're going to touch a little bit more on some of the things that we actually covered. With, you know, hopefully that we'll get a chance to cover again this year at some point, which is something we would all like to do. But first off, obviously, everybody's safety comes into play first. Also, you know, got to give credit. We're very grateful to Studio 202 and, you know, DCTV, you know, still being able to do this show each and every week, you know, remotely. So shout out to Rodney and Ron, and again, once again, for making this happen. All right, we're going to talk a little bit of college basketball tonight. Cardell, you want to go with the first question? You want me to start?
I'll go lead off. Giannis Antetokounmpo finally got it right for once. His brother Alex, I'm not going to say it twice, decided to skip college and go play in Europe. He said he played at the Dominican High School in Wisconsin. He told EuroHoops.net of his plans last Saturday. He had offers from DePaul, Ohio, and Green Bay. He said, I am examining my options. I have a few choices from the States, but I have decided to play in Europe. I want to become a pro as soon as possible. I was born and raised in Europe. I know European basketball, and the best thing for me would be to sign a contract with a European club. I would have to train and compete against grown men. I would experience strong competition and pressure, and I will evolve on every level. Antetokounmpo isn't ranked in the top 100 for the 2020 class. He was a first team all state selection twice, and he averaged 20 points and 7 rebounds. He's about 6'8, 200. He will be eligible for the 2021 NBA draft. Just what are your thoughts on him making the decision not to take the traditional route but go overseas and try to develop over there?
I mean, obviously we've been seeing a lot of this lately. You know, I always say it's the kid's prerogative. You know, if that's what they feel like they want to do, then by all means, you know, if it sounds good until you're in the thick of it. I don't know what his experience is, you know, playing in those type of leagues and against that competition, but, I mean, it's always good to take the leap and test yourself. Hopefully it works out. Again, you know, I'm never one to bash a kid's decision one way or the other. If you want to go play college ball, great. If you want to explore another option, that's great too. So we'll just see. Hopefully it works out for him. And hopefully we'll see him in the league in a year.
For me, it's kind of the same. I mean, I would expect for him to try to follow in his brother's footsteps, so I can kind of see why he's trying to do this. He's probably trying to mirror his career after his brother's. And I mean, it's not like Giannis wouldn't be a good teacher for him, but because I've personally never seen him play, it just still just leaves us to think, like, does he have the skill set that his brother does to make it actually work? But I mean, again, like Raymond said, like, I'm never one to doubt any type of way a player feels like that they should go. So if he feels like that's the best decision for him, hopefully it is. And like Remy said, hopefully we'll see him in the league soon. If he's anything like his brother, I can't wait.
All right, Wilson.
I'm looking forward to see how the kid does over there. I know just reading some stuff over the past couple of years, like, you know, his older brothers really think, you know, they really love the talent their youngest brother has. So, you know, shout out to him for choosing to go to Europe and, you know, kind of get his early reps in over there. Right. Get the pro game, get acclimated over there. You know, and I'm sure, you know, if everything works out, he'll find his way back, but, you know, just, it's a good decision. I mean, it's not like it's somewhere where you don't have a good support system or folks to lean on. Your older brother's a freaking MVP. So, you know, I'm sure it wasn't just a rash decision or anything like that.
I just hope people understand he's not his brother, at least not yet. He's not even as big as his brother. He's more of a guard mode. He's more in the mode of a guard, big guard. You know, all the he does play hard like his brother, but he, you know, Giannis something special. You know, Giannis don't those type of dudes don't come along too often. So that's my only thing. I hope he's trying to be the best he can be and not trying to be the second coming of Giannis, because that's a rare dude, you know, to be 6'11", 7 feet, doing everything he does, having a motor and a dog in him like that, man. It's ever evolving skill. Like, honestly, his younger brother right now is probably a better shooter than Giannis, but everything else is clear. I mean, Giannis head and shoulders above me. Even when he first came out, he was. So just keep developing and be the best he can be, and I think he'll be fine. Whether that would be an NBA-type player or will he have a long career overseas, that remains to be seen, because like they said, he wasn't even top 100 in the senior class. And if you're not top 100, that means you got a lot of work to do. But he has potential, so it's on him to just continue to grow and work and go from there.
All right, my first question for the college basketball segment. Talk about Maryland women's just a little bit. Obviously, you know, it's easy to focus on what they've lost in the transfer portal. And this isn't the first time, you know, within the last 5 years, they've been experiencing some of this. But next year, you know, it's going to be, as of right now, it's going to be a shortened roster like it was, you know, a couple years back. But they get Zoe Young back, Shanice Lewis, both of them back from injury. Mimi Collins transfers from Tennessee. You know, local ties. Katie Benson and Chloe Bibby is transfers. We just want to ask you guys, you know, how do you feel they'll fare if there's a season, obviously, assuming there's a season, how do you think they'll fare despite, you know, losing some quality talent that they lost this year, and Shakira Austin and, you know, Taylor Mikesell. And of course, can't talk about what's coming in without mentioning Angel Reese, obviously, as well. But whoever wants to go first.
I think they'll be fine. You know, Brenda's dealt with this the last few years. I think she know how to navigate it by now. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing new. These days, kids going to transfer. You know, it is what it is. So, you know, you just got to kind of move on with the next. You got to kind of have that mentality, because you just don't know it from year to year. Plus, the freshmen that made a major impact from this season will be even better going into next season. And I think they will take a major leap, because look what they did as freshmen. I think now they know what to expect in every phase. They haven't played an NCAA tournament yet, but that's just something that will come with the territory. But, you know, adding Mimi, and then, you know, I'm anxious to see what that front line would look like with Angel Reese and Diamond. I think that would just be sick, because both of those young ladies are about 6'2", 6'3", but they have guard skills. And, you know, they're athletic. They can move. So just having them, like, I mean, just the look at what they could do defensively. You know, you have one of them at the top of the dang press. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be hard for guards to get past one of them. Now they're trying to throw it over the defense, and then the other one playing, you know, defensive back in the back or waiting to get the steal. It's just, you know, she could play with – it's going to be a sick lineup. And then you got Ashley being better or whatnot, Faith. You know, it's just – you know, I think they're good. It's just getting in the gym, getting the chemistry right, and just getting rock and rolling, basically. I don't think it's going to really be – I mean, obviously, Shakir is a big presence inside with a shot blocking or whatnot, but, you know, with Angel and Diamond in there, you know, being both 6'3 and mobile and everything, I think, you know, by committee they can match that and then bring other things to the table. I think they'll be fine.
I agree with Carter. No, go ahead.
Oh. No, yeah. I'm with Carter on this one. You know, they'll be okay. Like, I would be more concerned if it was like Shakira and Kyla doing all the heavy lifting last year, but the others chipped in, and like Cardell said, they'll develop and they'll get better, and what they have coming in is going to be problematic. But yeah, I got full confidence in Brenda and the young ladies, but yeah, I don't expect it to be some type of a massive decline or any much of a decline at all. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to watch. Hopefully we do get to see it, you know, with everything that's going on. But But yeah, they'll be fine. I'm excited to see what Ashley will do. She'll undoubtedly be one of the leaders that that the young girls will look up to. But yeah, they'll be okay. I have no concerns.
Gotcha. Yeah, and just my little 2 cents. Now I'm not drastically worried about it. I'm very anxious to see what, you know, as Cardell mentioned, the freshman from last year. Next year is going to be year two. It looked like that class that they brought in last year, it was really, you know, we talk about dogs a lot, that mentality. That freshman class last year that came in was filled with them. They'll find a way to take some – I don't even think it's going to be a thing where it matters that deeply to them, just more that they get it. They'll be looking at it as an opportunity for them to show, you know, what they brought to the table, what they were recruited there for. And just look forward to all of them building on it. Like, you know, like most people, obviously, it's Cardell, Raymond, Octavia, you just said that pairing with Diamond and Angel is going to be ridiculous. And then obviously, like I'm anxious to see what Young looks like from her injury too. But I think it'll be fine. But, you know, just had to ask. Cardell, you had another one for college basketball?
Octavia, you got some? Octavia, you want to speak or you good?
I mean, y'all covered everything, so I'm good.
I'm just making sure.
I agree with everything y'all said. I'm a huge Brenda Freeze fan. I've been a fan of her since I was little. So that's really why I got most of my faith in. Brenda's a great coach, so I'm sure she'll be able to coach them up. But I just think the only thing they could possibly be worried about is just chemistry on the court. But I'm not worried, really.
Yeah, I got some more for college basketball. Unfortunately, it kind of hits home. Kenny Johnson, who was assistant with LaSalle last year, his duties last week, the NCAA served notice to Allegheny. Trying, you know, pay to recruit, pay someone close to a recruit when they came on the campus when he was an assistant coach at Louisville. Promptly, LaSalle just dismissed him. He was placed on administrative leave when he was at, and then fired by Louisville shortly after the federal investigation everybody know about, resulting in firing of Louisville head coach Rick Pitino, athletic director Tom Jurek, and assistant coach Jordan Affair. It was said that Johnson allegedly provided $1,300 extra benefit to a recruit or someone associated to a recruit. The NCAA also alleged that Johnson and Fair participated in impermissible recruiting activities we all know about. I'm not going to get into details, including off-campus recruiting contact in Las Vegas with a prospective recruit and in Indianapolis with the grassroots program. He is a big hit for LaSalle because he definitely brought some heavy hitters from the area there already in his first year, like Sharif Kenny and those guys. You know, he's long time been considered one of the top recruiters in the country. You know, he was at Towson, he was at Indiana when Oladipo was there. Everybody know he used to coach at Paul the Six and, you know, Team Takeover. So what are your thoughts on this investigation? Still, it's still lingering for a lot of the people that was on staff at Louisville, and it keeps coming back around to the point where they keep losing jobs. Would you hire him? Would you hire him again, or would you just look at it as like, okay, he served his punishment. Let's see what can happen. Let's start with you, Octavia.
I read about that earlier today. It's crazy, but it's just to me, it's a story for kids growing up now. Like, no matter what you do, like, this stuff is going to follow you. So you got to make sure you're always doing the correct thing at all times because you never know how it can affect your future, which he's finding out now that it's still following him even after the whole situation has, quote unquote, been laid to rest with Louisville. But these schools are still going to be looking at that. Like, you're never going to be able to live that down. Again, we've talked about this kind of in the past about if we feel like these people, like when Rick Pitino got hired, and I know we talked about if you would want your kid to play for somebody like that, and I know me speaking with no kids is kind of difficult for me to say. I just think about what I would think, but I don't really know how I would react if I actually had my own flesh and blood playing for somebody like that. You want to give everybody a second chance, and that's where my heart always goes towards, but it's sometimes it's just like, is it worth it? you know, to put your child in that situation at all. So I'm still kind of torn about it. Do I wish him the best? Hope he does find another position, of course. It's coming from the programs that he's been in. You got to know that he has some type of knowledge, but you also got to remember, like, you got to be able to do the right thing at all times. So I don't know if he'll get another opportunity. I'm sure he's hoping he does, though, but I hate to say it. It is what it is. You do the time. You never know how, you know, you do the crime. You never know how much time you're going to have to do. And obviously it's still following him a lot.
All right. On you, Ryan.
Well, Rick Pitino got another job, so everybody on that staff should have the opportunity to work again. You know, it's there can't be a double standard. Me personally, like we did have the conversation before, if you would allow your child to play for someone who was involved in what they were involved in, I would lean towards no. But, you know, that's just me. Whether I feel like he should get a chance to coach again, that's a different conversation. I mean, if we're gonna hold everybody to the fire here, then we need to do that. It can't just be, you know, the black assistant coaches that get continuously punished, or, you know, or and everything falls short of the guy at the top of the program. Like they know what's going on, and they probably have as much of a hand in it as everybody else. So, you know, I wish they would just stop with this whole fake crusade of keeping college sports pure, because if we're going to play that game, then we need to just come out and be honest. And then, you know, the Louisville thing is different because that was some wild stuff going on there. But in terms of like money and things like that, I don't care one bit, because they're still robbing these kids. And like all this new initiatives are trying to put in place, like, you know, giving kids the opportunity to capitalize off their likeness or what have you. Like, it's just a dog and pony show. They're still not splitting the pot, the NCAA pot. Like, and that's what it really comes down to for me. Like, they got to just stop being hypocritical, you know. All right, the guy got fired from Louisville. Cool. Let's move on with our lives. It's unfortunate that it followed him to another university, but like Octavia said, it is what it is. Once it's out there in the universe, you can't control what happens after that. So it's best to just keep your nose clean. But, you know, if we're going to punish people, let's just go ahead and punish everybody.
Yes. It's weird to me because Pitino got a job already, man. And, like, that's the thing that bothers me a lot, just because we hear all the time when this stuff happens. Supposedly, you know, if you're the lead guy, why it happens under your watch, you know, you should be held to your system shouldn't be held to a higher standard than you. So I guess that's where my issue is. If he was able to rebound so quickly for everybody else, not saying they're blackboard or whatnot, but if it feels like the kind of being denied opportunities, then I mean, you just got to be honest here. Like that's, I wish I could say it's surprising, but like, it's, man, it's tough. Cause I just don't get that part. Cause Pitino has a job. Like he was there, he was the guy, like that happened on his watch. Most of the time, anytime anything else happens, the head coach, like he's the one that has to takes the L. And if people can get over it for him, then in my eyes, I'm not really digging into, you know, everyone wrong. And like Raymond said, a lot of wild stuff happened there. But if y'all could get over, you know, forgive Rick Pitino so quick, then you shouldn't be judging the assistants harsher than you judge the head coach. In this case, that's where I have an issue with it.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. It's just unfortunate that they keep attacking the assistant coaches. The assistant coaches going to jail and all that. And these white, pristine head coaches just keep getting away with murder. And I was always taught, when you at the top, you're supposed to take the biggest hit. You know, you the leader, you get all the glory. When you get most of the glory, when things go well, you win and stuff. So why are they getting away? You know, Rick Pitino, if he can't coach, then Rick Pitino shouldn't be coaching. You know, as simple as that. I find it kind of weird that they're attacking him now, because he's kind of bringing in, he was low-key doing a great job in a short period of time at LaSalle. like I said, the Yende Hakeem from Isaiah Prep, Plato Wilson, Sharif Kenny came in as one of the top freshmen in the A-10, came down to GW, went to work. They just signed Anwar Gill this year. So he's already giving them horses from the DMV to already work with, you know. And you know, they long had LaSalle Long has had a great tradition up in the Northeast in the Philly and, you know, New Jersey, New York area. It's just to me, it's just pathetic how the NCAA, like Raymond said, the NCAA just keep hiding like it's all innocent and everything like that. When we know it's one of the most corrupt, you know, businesses, you know, leagues, whatever you want to call it, around. I just think once he served his punishment, once he got, you know, fired from Louisville, leave him alone. He got punished. You know, why you keep messing with him and everybody else keep getting second chances? Would my kid play for a guy like that? Probably not. You know, just to be honest, I'm a dude that live by, you know, I believe in integrity and living by moral code. And my thing is, you can't teach me to be a certain way when you didn't walk that way. You know what I'm saying? And that's just character. I don't care how good of a coach you are. I ain't trying to hear it. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be hard for him to preach to my kid one thing when he did another. You know, and then that's just the truth. But if he was to get another coach, second chance coaching or whatnot, leave him alone. Let him do what he got to do. And then obviously, if he messed up again, then finish him. He no longer can coach. It's as simple as that. You know, that's just my take from it.
Yeah. What we're going to do is going to take our first break tonight. When we get back, we're going to continue rapid fire. I'll go on to another sport. Still a couple more questions. You're watching the Focus TV. We will return very shortly. All right. Welcome back to the Focus TV. All right, I had a couple quick, I'll start off with a quick question, WNBA related. Obviously not too much to talk about because, you know, everything's literally on pause in the world, especially sports. So I want to ask you guys, the Mystics home court has been one of their best advantages since they opened, you know, broke ground in that arena. Do y'all see that continuing to trend? Obviously, if there's a season this year. Do you see it continuing to be one of the hardest places for visiting teams to play in the league? Now, Xavier, you can start in the war.
Absolutely. I feel like it's only going to get harder for opponents to play there. After they won the chip, you know, they champs. Everything got to go through them. So everybody in D.C. loves a winner. You know, D.C., they have a hard time with losing teams. And when they got a team that's winning, they're going to come up. So I feel like if there is a season, it's going to be packed out. It's unfortunate that they're not able to have their celebratory parade due to the pandemic. I believe they're just going to do something virtually now. But I just think we don't have the parade now. You know, if they have the actual season this year, I just think it's going to be crazy out there. I think WNBA fans are going to come up, show out, and it's just going to get tougher and tougher for people to play here.
Cardo?
Depends on how they handle this pandemic. If they have the season without any fans, then, you know, just going to be a game. You know, I mean, not a game, but, you know, it's not going to be the same. They never had that home crowd because there's plenty of times where, you know, they kind of got rocked in games and the home crowd, you know, got behind them, gave them energy, and then they woke up and came back to win the game. You know, as for the parade, don't nobody want to see no damn virtual parade. Give them the respect of what they did and accomplished. When we get back to normal, have a real parade. Have them motherfuckers wear masks and gloves. Do what you got to do, but give them their props. Because it ain't like this area is used to winning a lot. So how the hell are you going to shortchange the damn championship parade? So whoever think that dumb stuff, they need to get the hell on. Like, I'm trying to see the parade. Hell, as hard as we work, we want to see something related to winning. Because ain't no telling when that's going to come again. So let's do that. But yeah, it just depends on if they're going to do the pandemic, how they're going to handle it, how the league is going to handle it. Because what I keep hearing is having seasons, NBA and WNBA side, where there's no fans. And even us media, they probably have us far away with masks on and making sure, you know, everybody's just protected, man. So, you know, it's about to be some weird times once everything get back up. But, you know, they have to stay focused and be professional, do what they got to do. It's just a new world. It is what it is.
Right.
Just piggyback off what Cardell said, depending on how the league decides to operate, you know, no fans is going to be tough. But if they do get a chance to pack that arena, you know, that's going to be difficult for teams to deal with. Like, you can see it kind of last year with, you know, when the crowd would get raucous in there and the visitors would get kind of shook. Cause that arena is like closed in. It's not like the other teams that are playing in college stadiums and larger buildings where the fans really aren't on pretty much on top of the court. That can be a little shocking for you. It's almost like, you know, that atmosphere just it gets electric. This virtual parade stuff and all this other nonsense they got planned, just cut that out. Like, that's the most foolish thing I've ever seen. Like, how can you even get the same or anything close to the same type of feel from an IG feed? Like, that's ridiculous, man. Like, and like Cardell said, once we get to some resemblance of normalcy, give them what they deserve. You know, like, it's crazy. Like, the disrespect. That's because that's basically what it is. Like, these they put in the work. They did what they said they was going to do. They promised a championship and delivered one. They need to be respected as such. But yeah, hopefully we can get things rolling back to normal. Hopefully we can get back in there to cover them, and hopefully they can play under normal circumstances.
Yo, yeah, not before you go, Wilson. You just got an email earlier. They talking about they got a virtual swag surf van video. You see what I'm saying? This corny stuff. Like,
yeah.
Chill out, man. Come on, dog. They need some more people in there. They need some more people. Look, man, they need some more flavor up in that PR staff, because this is getting corny now. Like, it was corny throughout the playoffs. Like, chill. You don't want no more virtual stuff, man. Go ahead, Wolf. My bad.
Nah, you good. Pretty much what Cardell just said. Given the respect that they deserve, man. Like, this place has been starving for a winner forever. It just doesn't win across the board. They don't do that. I want the same type of energy they had for the Nats. You've been waiting. Like, the Nats went away and came back. You know, as a different team come back as the Nats, what have you. And the energy they had for that was electric. They deserve that. So, like you guys said, when they can return to some type of normalcy, you know. So, you know, that's what they deserve. To those that want to show their support, obviously, I'm not telling you don't enjoy that this weekend, by all means. Go enjoy that if that's what you would like to do. But the bottom line is, I would really hope that this isn't the end all be all of a celebration that you had literally mid-pandemic. And I don't want this to be something where they had to settle for just this, because that's just not it. Cardell, did you have a WNBA question? Because I know we got a lot of stuff to kind of get to.
Nah.
All right, then I guess what we will get to right now is, you know, a lot of people, they're not consistent with things. Jamal Hayward, he is one of those people. I don't know how he's continuing to do this, but I've yet to see the same move discussed so far. So we're going to head into the 9450 breakdown. This week, Jamal Hayward's going to be demoing different shots off the Euro step. Again, Jamal Hayward, the 9450 breakdown is different shots off the Euro step. We're going to follow that up by a break. And on the other side of the break, you know, the probe. If it's a series that, you know, done here, the focus, Cardell takes his time, kind of picks apart different players, talks about their strengths and their weaknesses. If you're late to that whole train of thought there, you're missing something. We're about to hit like 30 episodes. That being said, we're going to show the Ant Cowens probe tonight coming out of this break. You're watching the Focus TV. We'll see you guys in a little while. Welcome back. Again, thank you very much to Jamal Hayward. Cardell, got to give a thanks to you knocking out another edition of the probe. There was another one that went with that. So, you know, before we get into rapid fire real quick, I know it was Cowens and Wiseman. If you tell everybody the next two you got coming down the chute.
Are we going to look at Cole Anthony from North Carolina? And Vernon Carey. We're going to keep in the ACC. Vernon Carey from Duke, you know, who reminds me a lot of Van Baker. I know a lot of youngins don't know who that is, but Van Baker at his best was a 20-10 player and a technician on the block. So, you know, I'm going to have fun breaking those guys down.
Man, the Vin Baker clip. I'm cool off like a week off that.
I got you.
The floor is yours, rapid fire, sir. What you got left for us tonight?
Are we gonna start in the NFC East? Came out. The Washington football team has no primetime games for the first time since 1982. The NFL did obviously match them up on Thanksgiving against the Dallas Cowboys, but that would be the only time you see them in a semi-primetime game this season. Washington has 12 – since Daniel Snyder has taken over, Washington has 12 losing seasons, only three NFC East titles, and just two playoff victories. They haven't won a playoff game since 2005. Snyder bought the team in 1999. Redskins haven't beaten the Eagles since 2016 and are 1-7 against the Cowboys in their last eight meetings. Washington is 1-7 in their last eight primetime contests either, being outscored 232-134. Bad TV. That's why they're not on. Washington opens the season at home against Philadelphia if, you know, everything starts on time. And that's a sure win for Washington, but go ahead and start.
I guess I'll start. That was funny. But, I mean, it's – this is the non-petty side of me as well. It makes sense. I mean, you shouldn't get rewarded for not being good. You know, it's been tough watching Redskins games for people that are local. Can you imagine how it would be for people who aren't local? Like the people that live here that love the Redskins, they're going to watch regardless. Can you imagine not being a Redskins fan? You live in California and the Monday night game is them.
Like, make a great point.
I get it. I mean, and I understand the whole Redskins Cowboys rivalry on Thanksgiving. They shouldn't be allowed to play on Thanksgiving either. Okay. But I guess they can have that. But I'm not surprised. I'll say this. I am surprised. I'm surprised that they don't have it because they, like, you just ran off all of those stats, Cardell. It's been like this for a while. And they still have had nationally televised games. So I'm surprised in that aspect that they don't have any at all outside of the Thanksgiving Day game. So I am surprised in that way, but it and on the opposite side of that, I'm not surprised because they shouldn't. If you're not good, for me personally, and that's not even just being like I said, trying to be petty, but I don't want to see any terrible games on a national platform. Like, I want all national games that come on. Like, I want them to be good. I don't want the throwaway Thursday games that it used to be. Like, Thursday games are starting to been getting better the past two couple seasons. So I'm good with it. And I'm going to be honest, I'm going to take it this far. If my team was bad too, I wouldn't want us to be on national TV either. If you bad, you don't deserve it. So that's all around, period.
They need to take that approach in the NBA. Same thing.
Yeah. I don't want to see no trash games on national TV. Yeah, because like now, like at this point, I'll take anything.
They like we took a financial hit with this pandemic. We can't take a bigger hit. We can't take no more hits.
Yeah, especially because they renegotiated again with, I think, Amazon. So they'll be live streaming the games on Thursdays again. Yeah. Like, all these companies not about to like
and have it.
And I don't blame them. And I'm glad they with the pandemic going on, they canceled all the overseas games, like the Mexico games and the London games. I hate those anyway, so I'm glad they canceled those. Like, I just want to see good games on national TV. Like, that's it. Like, I'm going to watch my game regardless, whatever time we play, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. But on your Monday nights, your Sunday nights, even your Thursday nights, like, I want to see a good game. I don't want to see no trash game. I mean, I might go to FedEx on opening day just to see my team, but, you know. I'm done, guys. I'm
finished. My bad. I got nothing. I mean,
it's an NFC East thing.
Octavia basically said it all. Like she said, I'm surprised that they didn't, but it makes sense that they don't. Like, you know, in recent years, even when a division hasn't been good, they've tried to put some of these games on in that primetime slot just to hype it up, which is foolish, but you know, whatever. It's I got no beef with it. It's cool. And you know, it goes around the table. Like she said, if my team wasn't good, don't put them in front of the country to get embarrassed. Like that's what it is. I mean, it's good business. Nobody wants to see them. It is what it is. I mean, but yeah, this one's pretty A to B right here. It's not too much to talk about.
Got you. Moving on. Former Bulls player Tony Kukoc, when asked which player he feels is the best in the game, he said he felt Kevin Durant is the best player in the basketball. You know, he said, obviously, with the style of play today, he said basketball doesn't require a playmaker anymore, somebody that you always look for that has to bring the ball up the floor. In this era, there's so many players with multiple skills that it's almost a waste of time to look for the playmaker when someone can push the ball and get into the offense. Plenty of times LeBron is mistaken as a point guard, which is awesome. But Kevin Durant, to me, is, in my personal opinion, is the best player in the NBA. He could easily bring the ball up the floor. That's the style that the triangle offense allowed, and any one of us could run the point or be a post person or fill the corners. It's not a requirement to have a point guard. You can have skilled players with three or four guys on the same team playing multiple positions. When healthy, do you guys agree that Kevin Durant is indeed the best player in the game?
I agree. That's all the guys. I agree. Like Tony said it all. I mean, you keep it short and simple. Yeah, I agree. Tony's kind of spot on with everything he said, in my opinion. I've always loved versatile players that can not only do it on the offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side of the ball. That's my biggest thing. And Kevin does it on both, and he makes it look effortless. Like, there's not too much more to say. Like you said, barring injury, you know, there were rumors that if the NBA did start back up this year that he would play, which I think is ridiculous. There's no point. Like, continue to get your rest in. But, yeah, I agree.
He shut that down. He was like, hell no. So.
All right, cool. I missed that part.
Go ahead, Wilson. I see the petty coming out.
No, it's a mature answer. Tony, per usual, you know, he's on target, right? I have no issue with what he said. I know people like revisionist history and all this other stuff. But, you know, just a few months ago, somebody was like, felt like they were finally in control of all their superpowers. And, yeah, man, point to where Tony lied. I don't really have much else to say except point to where he lied. It was just a real weird quiet, you know, like that. What was it? The 11 minutes when he came back for 11 minutes. All of Canada was like, that's why hockey's our favorite sport anyways. Like, everything got quiet for 11 minutes, man. So, yeah, man, I think Tony's right. Yeah, I have nothing to add.
Yeah, it's not right. Too much to talk about here. Yeah, not too much to talk about. Let's just keep it a book. What's the argument against him not being the best?
I would love to hear that.
Let's just save ourselves some time.
He went to the Warriors that won a championship. He went to the team that beat him and won championships.
Oh.
Well, didn't the other person that people would be comparing him to did the same thing first?
Octavia, we're tired of this debate. I'm retired. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I guess
I'm retired.
And say a person.
Like, okay, right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, say a person must have an endorsement deal with Nicorette because my man ain't want no smoke. So that's all to say about that.
Look, man, there's a whole... Once something's happened, it only becomes like a fact, right? Where it's like it's on wax, right? So we can wind the clock back to like a couple years ago. There was this whole Game 3 thing in this place called Cleveland. In this story, Steph Curry didn't do much. Klay Thompson didn't do much. Draymond Green didn't do much. So the Warriors' big three, outside of the subject matter at this moment, did nothing. They were having a really horrible game, nightmarish even. The person Tony Kukoc was talking about was aided by the help of JaVale McGee and Sean Livingston, which combined scored 20-something odd points. And yeah, man, that's the only place I would just go to just, you know, drop mic, walk away from table and discussion, what have you. I don't know what we're doing here. I feel like sometimes it's one of those things where we got to talk a whole lot about something, but you still know what it is deep down. I'm going to trust the initial feeling, those who are saying otherwise in their gut feel. Just stop it, man. Like, it's ridiculous. Sometimes you just got to accept things. It's cool.
Man, listen, dog, I'm just going to keep it basketball. Let's say all things, equal with the other guy. But when you look at the details, like look at the defensive side of the ball. Kevin's more versatile. He can literally guard 1 through 5. And he's a more willing defender. He don't have lapses and BS on that end where he compromises the team and stuff like that. He gets after it. He'll bang with sitters and block their shot, and he'll get off switch and run at the point guards all day, use his length and stuff. And then the thing that the other guy always has struggled with and still hasn't fixed is closing games at the free throw line. We all know offensively Kevin's the superior guy. You can say the other guy's a better passer, rebounder, or whatnot, but Kevin can do those things as well. So Kevin's a better defender and a more efficient scorer. But when it comes time, like I said, everything equal in the close game down the stretch, who do you want at the free throw line? It's not even close. Like, the other guy's shaky there. And I know when Kevin get there, game over. So we're shocked if he missed. That means he's the better player. He's complete. There's nothing you could really go to, like, all right, take that away from him or force him that way so we can gain an advantage. There's no advantage. You just have to hope he's off and just play him honest and play him hard and just hope he's off, because that's all you could really do. And it's simple, man. He's a monster. And I mean, you know, it's been past time for people to see that, but it is what it is, man. They, you know. It's a cold following for the other guy. It is what it is. last question, one that kind of disturbed me. We're going to stick to the NBA side. Warriors minority owner who shoved Kyle Lowry during the NBA Finals will return to the team after, you know, once the season is completed or when the next season starts up, whatever they decide to do. We all remember Game 3 of the 2019 Finals. Serge Ibaka blocked, you know, Quinn Cook's layup, and Kyle Lowry tried to chase down the loose ball, diving into the front row to do so and crashing the fans. Mark Stevens, a Warriors minority investor, who was a couple seats down from where Lowry landed, reached on and shoved Lowry. Then Lowry said Stevens cursed at him. Stevens was fined $500,000 and banned for 1 year, with talk from Andre Iguodala and other players that his punishment should be more severe. It wasn't, with co-owner Joe Lacob having his back. Stevens will be back with the Warriors organization next season. He's a full active status. Stevens is a full active status of Warriors stakeholder. He owns between 2-10% of the team, and they're saying he had a momentary awful lapse in judgment and has paid the penalty and served the suspension without complaint. What are your thoughts on this whole situation? Go ahead, Oxavia.
I mean, to me, it's a sticky situation because, I mean, he's an owner or whatever, but I mean, there's got to be some accountability for these people that are in these positions as far as being the head-ish of a franchise. There's no excuse for it. Like, momentary lapse of judgment, like, you can't have a momentary lapse of judgment when you're supposed to be a business owner. Like, you have to act like a business owner. I understand they did the 1 year ban. You know, to me, I don't really know how much of a punishment that was, because it's not like he's still not making money off of them. It's not like he, you know, with the pandemic going on now, it's not like he's missing many games courtside. I would like to see them do something else. Now, I don't know what would be sufficient, just thinking of it right now. But I feel like there has to be some type of accountability. Like, a year ban for, like, if you want to get technical with it, physically assaulting a player, you know, like, when you're not even incorporate, like, in the game, you know, he could have pressed charges if he wanted to. If he was that petty, he could have, you know, and I'm super petty, so I probably would have. But I don't know what the recourse would be in the situation to make them feel like he's been punished enough, but I do think they need to do something else.
Wait, Ryan.
Yeah, if a normal fan did that, they probably wouldn't be allowed back in the arena forever.
They wouldn't. And
the standard has to be like that across the board. You know, he should. I wouldn't want him associated with my franchise if I was, you know, if I were the majority owners. Like, that's, and then to defend it, you know, and just kind of write it off, momentary lapse in judgment. Yeah. Like, what is that? Like, I don't. Yeah, I'm not okay with this. Yeah. Meanwhile, you got Masai Ujiri getting pressed out by the police when he's trying to walk on the court and celebrate after his team won the championship. It's, yeah, like, this is not to kind of go off rail here, but this was kind of my frustration with the whole Donald Sterling incident. Like, I felt, all right, yeah, cool. He sold his portion of the team, got some money, he's banned, whatever. But his actions were well documented for 30 years, and people knew about him. Like, you're not making some grand stand because, oh, it's public information now. You know, that, and that whole thing kind of rubbed me the wrong way too, but that's another conversation for another day. But this thing here, like, yeah, something more needs to be done. If I were the players for the Warriors, I would look at that kind of sideways, but, you know, those guys are free to make their own decisions and digest it however they want.
Go ahead, Wilson.
American way, money talks. You know, just, I hate to be just the pessimist there, whatever, but I mean, that's pretty much what it is. You throw in the fact that with the pandemic, you know, these teams, aka their businesses, they're losing money. So, I mean, you're a guy, I think you said between 2% and 10% or what have you. You know how that could easily, you know, everything that happened gets put under the table real quick. Hey, what if I throw a little extra on top of this? And obviously, this is purely speculative. But money talks. Like, these teams, some teams are, I don't want to say going through it because that's not right. The actual normal people that are going through it, but some teams are experiencing a little bit of losses here and there. Money's money, man. And it has currency in that space. Like Octavia said, gosh, he might as well have been petty and press charges, what have you. And if anything, as Raymond mentioned, you know, not only should the standard be the same all across the board, it should be higher. Because I'm pretty sure, had that been a minority owner of a team that's actually a minority, this isn't out the news cycle that quick. This is a whole different conversation. And as, you know, Raymond mentioned, look what happened with Masai. Come to find out the whole thing, dude was in the clear. And after, you know, smearing that man's name, you know, it just drops out the news cycle real quietly. Yeah, it just, you know, it saddens, but it's sad a little bit, but it's not surprising, man. Just, you know, it is what it is. Money talks.
I mean, to me, it's deeper than money. I agree with what y'all saying. It's the money. It's also the race factor. That privileged white folks just get away with murder, man. We need to just keep it a buck, man. It's just, it's a different set of, like Dave Chappelle made a joke. He said, I got to get in and on this being white thing. Yeah, he was making a joke about it, but it was just true. It's just, my thing is, if Kyle Lowry would have retaliated and stole off on him, then what would have happened? They'd have fined the hell out of him and suspended him and a call. Yeah, he would have been out for a minute. And they would have, and they would have lost the finals because he's a big piece of that team and whatnot. But this guy's just disappear and they can randomly just come back. And what, I mean, what was it? He just, all right, fine. He watching the game, you know, and it's, you know, on his Jerry Jones-esque yacht or something like that. Like, what does it really mean to him to not be there? And then you just bring him back off the quiet, or trying to be sneaky and act like, you know, he served his punishment. Nah, you know, he physically assaulted the guy. What people don't even understand, like if you approach somebody in a threatening manner, you can go to jail for that. But he literally did it, and for what reason? It's a basketball game, you know. He probably was drunk, but that's still his fault. Yeah. Exactly. If you can't control, then sit up in the suite. You know what I'm saying? I'll do something else. So I just think this sets it, you starting to see little situations like these just get a little slap on the wrist, like slap on the hand and not really be addressed, and it just goes away because of their status or whatever money they bring in. That's not really, I'm like you, Remy, that's not sitting well with me, man. And it's starting to get way a lot more corporate as the money grows with the TV deals and stuff. It's like the corporate vibe is starting to really take over a lot more. And they're not holding those type of people at the top accountable like they would the players and staff and media or whoever else is underneath. It's all about making a dollar and protecting that dollar. And that's just a bad example, you know, to set. And, you know, he shouldn't even be allowed back in the arena. Watch it from home. If the money's that good, cool, watch it from home. Because think about it, when the Raptors come to the arena, how Kyle Lowry supposed to feel?
He should not be at that game. I mean, at minimum, like, you should not go to that game. You need to stay home.
He should be. If I'm Kyle, I'll be like, yo, throw a bad pass. All right, man, I'll try to hurt his ass. I'll be like, no, man, I'm going to tell you, go ahead.
And the petty continues. I'm not alone.
Run into me.
Not Jason Kidd.
Yeah,
but no, man, it's like you said, it's ridiculous. We want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. As always, get over to finestmag.com, amanosports.com. Follow the Focus TV on all of your social platforms. We will see you guys next week. Thanks for watching.